Well, joining us now for a conversation on the program, he is Government Stewardship and Relations Manager with Enview. Derek Sebastian is with us here today. Derek, it's good to talk with you. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me today.
You bet. Well, I want to get into this topic about cheatgrass and some of the issues that have been going on there and things that you've been working on and other folks have been working on. I know this ties in with a new mule deer study as well. So, can you set the stage for us a little bit, Derek, and explain to folks listening in a little bit about what is going on and what you've been working on?
Yeah, definitely. So there's, you know, weeds out there like cheatgrass. It's a weed that infests over 50 million acres in the western U.S. I'm sure almost everybody has heard of it. And as of recently, there's been new findings out there that the Mule Deer Foundation actually posted saying that actually the number one threat to mule deer populations in the western U.S. isn't actually carnivores like wolves, development, or disease. It's actually an annual parasitic weed that is the cheatgrass that I just mentioned. So it's really negatively impacting the habitat as well as fueling the wildfires that's devastating the habitat for mule deer and other wildlife in the west.
And it's amazing to think about that, that it's not an invasive species, it's not a predator, it's a weed. It's cheatgrass that is a huge issue for mule deer populations in the West. That is, to me, that's fascinating to think about, Derek.
Exactly. And you look at it, it's an annual plant, right? It only survives for one season, it sets seed. And the issue with this plant is it is highly reproductive, it's highly parasitic and invasive, and as it builds up fuels over time, the wildfires increase, which then leads to habitat degradation. And so there's some new tools out there that can actually eliminate this pest for the long term, get rid of the seed viability of that species. And then new studies now really linking the impacts of cheatgrass on mule deer habitat and how these mule deer actually avoid areas that have cheatgrass, even at levels of just 20% cheatgrass.
Well, I know Enview has a product that can help with that. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But I know you sent me a couple different studies as well, one from the University of Wyoming and one from Colorado State that also kind of look at some of the long-term cheatgrass issues and control and more. Any key points you would share from either of those studies for folks?
Yeah, definitely. One of the studies was just published with the University of Wyoming, and what they found with Dr. Brian Mueller's group is that these areas that have even low levels of cheatgrass, mule deer are avoiding. So even like I mentioned, at 20% cheatgrass, which is pretty low, it's really influencing where these mule deer are spending their time and foraging. And so they use collar data to track mule deer. And what they found also is that over 20 years moving into the future, if cheatgrass continues to invade like it is today, we're going to see significant declines, continued declines in mule deer habitat. But what they said is that targeted treatments, being proactive, going to these areas that we can still save and protect is going to be key. And we're really at the tipping point right now of preserving and protecting the habitat that we're talking about, overwintering habitat, which is really critical for these species like mountain mahogany and antelope bitterbrush. The other study that was just done was at Colorado State University with Dr. Jay Korkamp along the Colorado Front Range. And they actually had paired treatment areas where they had treated directly adjacent to non-treated cheatgrass infested. And what they found was that where they treated and removed the cheatgrass, the parasite, they actually got twice the amount of shrub growth, leader growth, which is where all the shrubs pack that nutrients for those mule deer over the overwintering months. And so this was a huge finding showing that if we can restore these areas, we're not only decreasing the likelihood of fires going through these areas, but we can get about twice the amount of resources that these mule deer are able to forage on over that season.
We're talking with Derek Sebastian from Enview here, and let's get into some of the products that you guys have to help. And I know you sent me some pictures that really demonstrate, how you can get in here and treat some of these areas to really help with mule deer populations and help with cheatgrass. And I know Rejuvera is a big product for you guys. Talk about how that can help in terms of preserving some of this habitat and trying to get rid of that cheatgrass that's out there.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been working with this tool since my PhD project at CSU starting in 2015. And really the turning point with this new tool was that we had the opportunity to go out and do a single application And this herbicide does not migrate down through the soil. It actually stays in the top half inch of the soil, and it works on the annual seed. So with one application, we can actually get 3+ years of control. And when you look at the seed viability of invasive grasses like cheatgrass, medusa head, and ventonata, the seed viability is right around that 3 or 4 year mark. And so if we can get that 3 or 4 years, you know, 3 to 5 years of control with one single application, we can actually deplete the seed bank of that invasive species, eliminate it from the site, and then allow those natives to come back and flourish within those locations. And so that's really the key turning point, is going in with using low rate products. It's very low use rate, 5 ounces per acre. One application has the opportunity to deplete a majority of the weed species seed bank, which then allows the natives to recover, which is that critical habitat for mule deer, elk, sage grouse, and hundreds of other wildlife species.
Yeah, and I just think about those native perennials and so much more. And again, it all comes down to preserving habitat for wildlife, especially, you know, mostly across our western states is where we're really talking about some of this and some of that rangeland and more that is out there across the West. It really just comes down to protecting that habitat, right, Derek?
Exactly. And really what these studies showed is that strategic action, being proactive in managing before wildfires hit, before, you know, these fires rip through these bitterbrush and mahogany overwintering habitat areas, because once a fire hits, it almost completely eliminates these shrub species from the landscape, which then directly impacts mule deer. So really, NRCS came up with this idea called Defend the Core. If you have areas that still have natives that are intact, that can still be saved, that have that 20% to 50% cheatgrass or other invasive grasses, that's really the time to treat. And then we can have the most success with our treatments as well.
Well, Derek, really appreciate the insight here. Anything final you would add about these studies and the work you're doing at Enview and with Rejuvera and more? Anything you would add or reiterate to folks?
You know, I would say, you know, trust the science. There's a ton of new research, like we just talked about, that's out there really linking all the negative impacts that invasive grasses have on the landscape. And really, for me and for others, the exciting thing with all the land managers I get to work with, BLM, Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, there's now a new hope to get ahead of the game, preserve and protect this habitat that's really something that we need to preserve and protect moving forward into the future.
Well, I know folks can also learn more online, envu.com, envu.com. Derek Sebastian, Government Stewardship and Relations Manager for Enview. Thanks for joining us to highlight this topic about cheatgrass and more. And until next time, we'll wish you a good rest of the week. We'll look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, thanks a bunch for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity.